إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His forgiveness for our shortcomings and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq to be from those who study His deen with sincerity and act upon it, I'd like to apologize for the delay, secondly. Thirdly, inshallah ta'ala, today will be a shorter lesson, bi-ithnillah, but we still do the two that we usually do, which is the majalis of Ramadan, Shaykh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, taking benefits from that, and also the continuation of Al-Ha'iyya, inshallah ta'ala. But before that, like we do, we'd like to know what we studied last lesson. What did we study last lesson in regards to Ramadan? Benefits of Ramadan. Naam. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum usiyam kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that fasting has been prescribed for you like it's been prescribed for those before you in order for you to attain piety. This is a virtue of fasting, in that fasting was prescribed for this ummah and the other ummas as well, the other nations as well. Another benefit we done last week. Just one? Naam. That is that the reward of the fasting person is unlimited. The reward of the fasting individual is unlimited. And where's the proof? Ahsant. Surah Az-Zumar. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Innama yuwaffa Allahu sabirun ajrahum. Innama yuwaffa sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily the patient ones receive an unlimited reward. Bighayri hisab. It's not numerated. And Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explained patience and he said it was of how many categories? Huh? Three. The first category is what? The sabr ala ta'atillah, patience upon the obedience of Allah. Secondly, patience upon that those things Allah has made impermissible. That's the second type of patience. Patience with regards to those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made impermissible in order to stay away from it. Third, naam, patience and the qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the three types of sabr. And from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّبْرُونَ أَجْرُونَ بِغَيْرِ سَابٍ, patience, the ones who, people who are patient will be given an unlimited reward. The patient people are those who have these three attributes. And Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the fasting individual has these three characteristics. The fasting individual has these three characteristics. How? How does the fasting individual have the characteristics of the people of patience? The three characteristics you mentioned, the categories. Number one. Naam, because when he's fasting, he's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's sabr ala ta'atillah. That's being patient upon the obedience of Allah. Secondly, Naam, he's staying away from eating, drinking, and relations and so forth, because that is what Allah has made haram in the month of Ramadan, during the days of fasting. So he is being patient upon the prohibitions. Thirdly, the decree. Naam. The fasting individual has the attribute of being patient upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he is patient and he doesn't complain after feeling the pain of hunger and thirst and so forth. He knows that this is from the qadr of Allah. So he's patient and he continues in his ibadah. So therefore, from this, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala said that the fasting individual's reward is unlimited from this verse in the Quran. Any other benefits? From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet said, "As-siyamu junnah." As-siyamu junnah. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that fasting is what? A shield. That fasting is a shield. A shield from what? Did the ulama explain? The hadith actually mentions it's a shield from the fire. Imam Nawawi, Naam. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala said that fasting is a shield, i.e. fasting is a shield from sins, from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and things that are evil. And that's the explanation of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala in Sahih Muslim, Sharh of Sahih Muslim, his explanation of Sahih Muslim. Jannah in the Arabic language forms of how many letters? Foundational letters. And what are those? Jim, Nun, Nun. And what did you say about any letter in the Arabic or word in the Arabic language which has Jim, Nun, Nun? It's something that is unseen or concealed. Best translation is something that is what? Concealed. Like Jinn and Jannah. Jinn, we cannot see the Jinn and it comes from the three forms. And Jannah, we cannot see it now. Huh? And Janin, which is the unborn baby, it's in the mother's stomach, so we cannot see it. So therefore, a junnah is a shield, i.e. the hellfire will be far away from the believer, the fasting individual. A hellfire will be far away from the fasting individual. And in the hadith also, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Inna lissa'im al-farhatan." Where the Prophet ﷺ said in the same hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, I don't believe we mentioned this, where the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, إن للصائم فرحتان فرحا فرحة في ال في ال في الصيام والفرحة في الإفطار أو sorry فرحة في الإفطار وفرحة في لقاء ربي. Where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith that the fasting individual has two place or states of pleasure that he will receive. The first pleasure is when he breaks his fast, and the second pleasure is when he meets his Lord. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that he breaks his fast, i.e. he's completed his worship. He's happy that he's completed the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he has that pleasure of completing an ibadah, a type of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa ma khalaqtul jinna wa ins illa liya'budun." Have not created the jinn and mankind except for worship. And he is happy when he meets his Lord, for his reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For his reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says, "Inna lissa'imi farhatan," that verily for the fasting person is two types of pleasure. The first is when he breaks his fast, i.e. in completion of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second is when he meets his Lord, i.e. the reward for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. So now inshallah ta'ala, we're going to go on to, for a couple of minutes inshallah, some more benefits from the Shahr Ramadan, Majalis Shahr Ramadan, Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, and we're going to put this into maybe about 4 or 5 points inshallah ta'ala briefly, and then we go on to Ha'iyah. The first of which is, or you can call it the chapter, is called the ruling of fasting in Ramadan. The ruling of fasting in Ramadan. And then the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that fasting is one of the pillars of Al-Islam. Now, when we're studying this ruling of fasting, it is important that we study this. Even if we know this, it is a revision for us. And some things we may think we know, but in reality, we might have misunderstood. And it's important that one, when he's doing al-ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is sure that worship that he's doing is according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray like you see me pray. And this applies to every type of worship. Fast like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted. Do hajj like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hajj. Do zakat like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did zakat. Do business interactions like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done business interactions. Treat your family like the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated his family. And so forth. A, follow the sunnah in every type of action and ibadah and so forth. And mu'amalat and interaction that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So the Shaykh began by mentioning the hadith after saying that fasting is from the pillars of Islam. He mentioned the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal bunya al-islam ala khamsin shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammad rasulullah wa iqami salah wa itai zakah wa hajj al-bayt wa sawm ramadan, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith which is agreed upon muttafaq alayh, which is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. It's muttafiq alayh, which is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said that Islam is built upon five things. The first being shahada, the testification that none deserves to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ and tawahidullah, and that you make tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said that you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith, we take all of those three meanings to know that when the Prophet ﷺ says that the first pillar of Islam is to testify that none deserves to be worshipped except Allah, it means having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you're supposed to have iman in him, subhanahu, and also making tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your ibadah. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ mentions different types of ibadah. And from those is and statement also that the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah ﷺ. And then he mentions as-salah. The second one is as-salah. And the third is the zakat. And the fourth is making hajj. And the fifth is fasting the month of Ramadan. So this is a clear proof to show that the Prophet, that fasting is obligatory and is from the pillars of al-Islam. And it's from the pillars of al-Islam. And based upon this, the Sheikh says that it's a consensus that fasting is obligatory. The Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that it's a consensus, a ijma', that fasting is obligatory. And the one who, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his Quran the obligation of fasting, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in his sunnah the obligation of fasting, if one denies this, then he has left the fold of Islam. Then he has left the fold of Islam, because fasting is something which is not is knowledge that is necessary, and everyone knows that, and is established in the Quran and Sunnah and the Ijma. Then the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala says that fasting went through two different stages. Then the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the fasting went through marhalatain, two different stages in Islam. In the first stage, it was a choice. It was a choice that one could fast or one could feed the poor. Initially, fasting was that one could fast, had the choice whether to fast or to feed the poor. And this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah, that upon those who are able to do it, or it's difficult for them to do it, then for them to do, feed the miskeen, feed the poor ones, to feed the poor ones. And this is the verse which was revealed to show that it was a choice between feeding and fasting. There was a choice between feeding and fasting, with fasting being more preferred. With fasting being more preferred. And then the second stage of fasting in Islam is that it became obligatory for everyone. That it became obligatory for everyone without a choice. And this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those of you who witness the month, i.e. the month of Ramadan, then let him fast. فَلْيَصُمْ, which is one of the the terms used to show obligation as a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who witnesses the month, the beginning of the month of Ramadan from amongst you, then let him fast. So this shows that in the second stage, this verse abrogated the previous one. This verse abrogated the previous one in that it became obligatory for every single individual to fast in the month of Ramadan, except for the ones, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make an exemption for those people who are sick or traveling, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and as for those who are sick during the month of Ramadan or a day in Ramadan and so forth, or he's traveling, then let him make the fast up in other days. Then let him make the fast up in other days, meaning that it's obligatory, and this firmly establishes this obligation, because even when you're sick, you have to make up the fast that you missed. Whereas in the first stage of fasting, it was a choice between whether one wanted to do it or could do it or not, and being that fasting was preferred. This is point number three. So I forgot to tell you the points, but this is point number three. The first point I'll say is obviously the obligation of fasting. The second point was the ijma, Jade. The second point was ijma, the consensus of fasting. The third point, was that one who denies fasting after it's been obviously made obligatory and so forth, then he denounces it, his Islam is denounced. And the fourth is the stages in which fasting was prescribed. The fourth is in stages which fasting was prescribed. The fifth point is that fasting is not obligatory for an individual until the month begins, the month of Ramadan. That fasting is not obligatory upon the individual until the month of Ramadan begins. And that's from the statement, as we mentioned previously, from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمِنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. And whoever from you witnesses the month, then let him fast. So that is a clear proof that one's the obligation of fasting is at the beginning of the month of Ramadan. And then the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and this is point number seven, the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that with regards to establishing the coming of the month, there are two ways to do this. With regards to establishing the coming of the month of Ramadan, there are two ways to do this. The first of which is seeing the crescent, the moon crescent, the hilal. The first of which is seeing the moon, the crescent, the hilal. And that's from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِذَا رَيْتُمُ الْهِلَالَ فَصُومُوا وَإِذَا رَيْتُمُ الْهِلَالَ فَصُومُوا, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith which is in Bukhari and Muslim, and if you see the hilal, then fast. Yani the crescent. And if you see the crescent, then fast. So this is the first way in which to indicate that the month of Ramadan has begun. This is the first way to show the way the month of Ramadan has begun. Point number eight. Point number eight is who... Seven, sorry. Point number seven. Point number seven is that the individual, that the sighting of the moon, that the sighting of the moon has to be done by a just, trustworthy person who has knowledge of the sighting. Has to be done by a just, number one, a person who is just, trustworthy, and he's Muslim, and he has knowledge of the sighting of the moon, and he has reached the state age of puberty, and he has reached the age of puberty. So he must be just, trustworthy, Muslim, reach the age of puberty, know the signs and so forth, and this is a sign of the individual who is able, or whose word is able to be taken, that the month has begun, i.e. the crescent has been seen. And from this, the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that other than them are not trusted, i.e. the person who lies, or the person who is hasty, or he has weak sight, and he can't see properly. This individual's claim that the moon has been sighted will not be taken. They will need to be affirmed. Why? Because of his weak sight, or because the individual is a liar and he's not trustworthy, or if he's a young boy who hasn't reached puberty and the sighting of a kafir is not accepted, and the sighting of the kafir is not accepted. Now, as for the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning a hadith, the Sheikh brings a few other issues. One of those issues that he brings is regards to the sighting of the moon. And this is point number eight, inshallah. This is point number eight, and that is when the moon is sighted, who is it obligatory to start? Who is it obligatory upon to start fasting? When the moon is sighted, who is it obligatory upon to start fasting? And the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the hadith, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْهِلَالَ فَصُومُوا وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا. And if you see the moon, the crescent, then fast. And if you see it again, and at the end of the month, then stop fasting and so forth. The Sheikh mentions in here that when it's sighted, the moon is sighted, it takes one individual who's that trustworthy individual to cite it. And if he's trustworthy, then his khabar and his narration is taken, and then the whole, he informs the ruler, and then in some way or fashion, the ruler announces that the month of Ramadan has begun, and everyone then is obligatory for them to fast. But when that individual sees it, it's obligatory for him to fast. Him. Until others know, then it's obligatory for them. And then the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned also before that, I should say, that this in itself is a refutation against those people who deny the narration of one person. That this is a refutation of those who deny the narration of one person, and in that negating some of the sunnah, the khabru ahad, those narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, which is narrated by one narrator. And this is what the people from Al-Itizal, the Mu'tazila, a deviant group, claim, and some of the Asha'ira as well, they claim this. They claim that a narration from the Prophet ﷺ, which only has one companion, for example, narrating it, or any one narrator in the chain, in the stages in the chain, narrates it, that is not accepted. And we have from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, where he mentioned generally that if it's seen, then you should fast. So this shows that one person, if he sees it, then it's sufficient. A, the narration of one person is accepted. And other proofs to show this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Prophet ﷺ ba'atha Mu'adh ila ahl al-kitab ila Yemen, that the Prophet ﷺ said that Abdullah ibn Abbas said that the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to Yemen, and he said to him, inna katati qawman min ahl al-kitab. And he said, verily, you're going to come to a group of people from the people of the book. فَلْيَكُلْ أَوْلْ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. And let it be the first thing that you call them to, شَهَادَةً لَا إِلَهِ لَلَّهِ. And that's to testify that none deserve to worship with heart, or in another narration, and يُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ, and that you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one. Now, Mu'adh was sent by himself. Mu'adh, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was sent by himself, and this is a refutation. And he was sent by himself in order to teach people that which is the most important thing, and that is what? Tawheed. And then he came back to the Prophet ﷺ to inform him. So this, along with that hadith of Mu'adh, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is a proof against the Asha'ira and Mu'tazila that the one person's narration is not taken. And as we mentioned, the narration of a just, trustworthy person who doesn't have a weak eyesight and so forth, and he cites the moon, his narration is taken for the whole ummah to fast. Which brings us to point number nine. I've made it longer than six. Point number nine, and that is that there is a difference of opinion of the ulama as to when the individuals, the sighting has come, whether it is obligatory for the whole dunya to fast. And I'm going to tell you the correct opinion, inshallah ta'ala, and that is that it is. And the reason being is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it's seen, then fast, and that's general. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَصُومُوا. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْهِلَالَ فَصُومُوا. If you've seen the hilal, then fast. And that's general for the whole of the ummah. Okay? And Shaykh Muthaymeen brings the opinion of this, and he says that if an individual, for example, is in Egypt or Morocco, and he sights the moon, then the month has begun. Then the month has begun, and this is for the whole Muslims. These are for the whole Muslims. This is an opinion. Of course, there's another opinion which says that it's only for the town itself. And they use the qiyas upon the fact that each individual country has the different time of Maghrib and different time of Fajr. But generally, the month is known. And there isn't going to be more than up to a day's difference in time between all of the countries. So when one person cites the beginning of Ramadan, then we know that the Ramadan has started, the month of Ramadan has begun. And it won't be more than a few hours difference between each country. And that's the correct opinion, and Allah knows best. Okay. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue inshallah on Thursday, the rest of benefits from Shahr Ramadan. And inshallah, we're going to increase probably a day in a week, starting from next week, inshallah ta'ala. And Shams and the brothers, inshallah, will let you know the day, inshallah. Okay.